The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences only. Wow, you know what? You were absolutely right. That sounds so much better than saying it's for old people.
I told you it would work.
I know, right? It's just, it's so much less offensive. Mature audiences. It's like you can hear the air quotes. They'll never know. Oh, shit, I left the microphone on.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Yes, I am. Make yourself comfortable. I'm going to entertain you for the next 30 minutes. I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Allow me, if you will, for me to introduce the members of the Ron Van Dam Show cast. There's myself, Bucky Sherwood, and then there's Nicole Reed. She's that British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She does some of the production stuff. And then there's John Shanahan. Oh my God, he's so funny. He does so many of the comedy bits, the opening announcement. Love the guy. And then there's, Jason Shaw. He does the background music, the opening theme. Yeah, nice guy. Thanks, Jason. And then there's you. Do you wear glasses? I know. Every once in a while when I was younger, if I had to read something, which was so infrequently, like a book or a piece of paper. Now, every once in a while, if I read a book, I would go to the drugstore. Pharmacy. Not supposed to call them drugstores anymore. Drug is a bad word. I would go to the pharmacia. And they have a display, and it's for people that don't really need glasses, but maybe so. You know, maybe you need, but I don't think so. And you put them on, and all of a sudden you look incredibly intelligent. Glasses are wonderful. They can transform anybody into an intelligent person. Of course, until you open your mouth. But as far as looks are concerned, glasses, really, they're a plus. They're a plus. So I would buy these little glasses there, which, had like a 1 or a 1.25. I don't know what that means, but, and then you get older and all of a sudden you're walking around your house or your apartment and you start saying much more, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? And then if there's somebody with you, they say they're on your head. You're wearing them. Oh, no, I'm getting old. It's a sign of getting old. You start wearing glasses. I know. It's so embarrassing. You know, you're at a restaurant and you're trying to look at the menu and you're not sure if you're looking at the entrees or the appetizers or life insurance documents. You don't know. You can't see anything. It's just all a part of getting a little bit older. Your eyes start getting a little different. But I'll tell you something, man. Glasses are cool. Glasses are so freaking cool. When I was going to school back in 1592, by the way, I knew Columbus personally. What an asshole. All he did was brag about his boats. Yeah, and he would wear this little captain's uniform all the time. Columbus was just a big, didn't do the Italian people a lot of good. No, his personality sucked. He was a womanizer. He treated people like crap. Not a nice guy. Not a nice guy at all. He would sit around, the dinner table and just brag about, hey, I've got the Nina up on dry dock. We're scraping off the barnacles. You know, just shut up. Shut up about your boat stories. I sailed all the way from Spain. Oh, shut up with your stupid, stupid navigation stories. Anyway, so when I was younger, people who wore glasses were ridiculed. They were ridiculed. They were shamed. It was awful. Hey, you four eyes. Four eyes? I've only got two with some glasses on. What are you talking about? What is that? Where did that come from? What a stupid insult that was. They only have two eyes. What are you talking about? But people back then, they had things called horned-rimmed glasses. Are you familiar with this? Millennials don't know what I'm talking about. They were black glasses. And if you had a plastic nose, then it would be like it would just complete the look. They really did make you look perhaps a tad smarter, but a lot dorkier. That was when I was growing up. Glasses were not cool. Now, fast forward to now, hit the fast forward button to now, glasses are really chic. We got a special word for them now. They're chic. They're ultra cool. As a matter of fact, quote-unquote geeks have started to become very sexually attractive to women. Yeah, because they're incredibly intelligent, and they got it going. They got it going. Yeah. Women are attracted to smart men. I think they are, and smart women, too, if you happen to be that persuasion. Yeah, women like that. Yeah, they do. So if a guy put on glasses, you might find yourself a bit more sexually attractive to the opposite sex or whatever you're going for. They do make you look attractive, and there's no more horned-rimmed glasses anymore. They're not geeky. They're like wire-rimmed, or they're really sleek and fashionable. It's a whole fashion world with glasses now. I knew a young lady. That's the end of the sentence. No, there's more. I knew a young lady who felt that she was not that attractive. She had a very, very low self-esteem. Really low. A low self-esteem. And one day I saw her after many months of not seeing her. I happened to come across the young lady, and she was wearing glasses. And I said, you know, those are very attractive on you. And she said, I know. I said, wait a minute. You don't wear you didn't wear glasses last time. Did you go to the optometrist all of a sudden for the first time in your life? How did you get glasses so quick? They're not real. I mean, they're glasses. They're really glasses. But the lens, it's just a clear lens. You son of a bitch. Really? Yes. They're fake, you know, they're glasses. Yeah, they're real glasses. But it's just a clear lens. So it's not a prescription? No. Then why do you wear it? Because they work, man. I feel better. I feel more confident. I'm doing really well. Isn't that something? What a turn of events on the glasses story since I was a kid growing up. Yeah. So if you have glasses, and to be honest with you, I know you do. I know you do. All God's children got glasses. It's in the Bible. Put them on. Don't be ashamed anymore. They're cool. You're going to get a reaction. People are going to start asking you questions and asking your opinion all of a sudden. Or let's find an intelligent person here who can answer that question. You, with the glasses. Yeah, it's true. It works. And the added benefit to looking good with glasses is that you can actually see better. Just a little side thing. Oh, man, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? What the hell are you doing here? How are you? Good to see you. Where are we here? Are we in, what month is this? Is this November already? No. What is September? Oh, it's October. Oh, nobody told me that. When did this happen? Oh, a few days ago? I did not know. I did not read that in the paper. I don't read the paper. People don't read the paper anymore. The newspaper used to be the center of society until you know what kicked it out of proportion. That stupid Facebook internet thing. Newspapers used to be the big deal. Well, before I was a child, these newsboys, and they were always boys, would stand on the corner of busy intersections and go, "Hey, get your paper here. Read all the news. Get your paper here." They all talked funny like that. And people would actually stop and get the paper. It was a nickel, a dime maybe. And they would pick up the paper and bring it home and sit there. And in the morning, they'd have it delivered to their home, and they'd read the paper with a cup of coffee. I mean, no, with their eyes, but they would have a cup of coffee with it. And the same at night. And that's how people got their news, pretty much by reading the paper. And just about every city or town had one. The towns had the local paper. The cities had probably a few papers available, a couple of different companies. And they were the thing. And if there were businesses, and there were businesses, how did they advertise? In the newspaper. How would you sell your spare dining room set? In the classifieds, in the newspaper. The newspaper was the center of everything. If you wanted to post something officially, it had to be posted in the newspaper. If you wanted the residents of a community to be aware of something, you put it in the newspaper. There were coupons in the newspaper. Sports. Comics. People used to read the comics on Sundays. They had the daily comics. The Sunday comics was a whole section. And it would make you laugh. I never read the comics. I never found them to be funny. But hey, that's just me. The newspaper was the center of society, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Yeah, and then came along this internet crap and knocked the newspapers out of existence. The other way of advertising was the phone book. Millennials don't know what I'm talking about. It was a book. There were a lot of pages in it, and it listed everybody's phone number. And then there was a section called the Yellow Pages. No, that's not the portion that the dog peed on. That was advertisements. And if you needed a service, you would go to the Yellow Pages. They'd be listed alphabetically. Some of them would pay for larger ads. Some of them would just have a line. Some of them were a bold line. Various stages of advertising cost. And that's where you went if you needed a service or something to be done or something like that. You go to the Yellow Pages. And on the first page of the phone book, phone booth is a whole nother subject. There would be the emergency numbers. Ooh, poison control, 911, all that kind of stuff. If you dialed O on the phone, you got an operator. You got a person who answered the phone and said, "Hello, how can I help you?" What? That actually happened? Yes. You mean there were no robots? No. And when I was growing up, robots were like, yeah, right. really. You know, robots were like, maybe like R2-D2, not even. It would be these big clunky metal things, you know, and yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, in the future, there are going to be robots. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure, right. Yeah, robots will be working in factories. oh, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, replacing people, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, there'll be clunky robots working in factories on coffee breaks. Yeah, yeah, right, robots, yeah, really. Yeah, robots in manufacturing. What are you, insane? What are you on drugs? I mean, on pharmacies? That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, someday you'll contact robots and robots will answer you.
What are you crazy? Robots?
Yeah, you'll be talking to little robotic speakers in your house, asking them questions and what time it is and all that stuff, and they'll play music for you, and they'll have names like Bob or Alexa.
What are you crazy? That ain't gonna happen. Oh my God. You're that's fantasy. That's science fiction.
Oh my God, it actually happened. It actually happened. All that stuff is gone. It's gone. Wow. So it's sad in a way. The romance is gone. Everything's automated. If I have a question, I will ask the robots. If I pick up the telephone, remember what that is? And you dial a number, remember what dialing is? Or you punch in a number or whatever? You won't get a person, ever, ever. You'll get a robot. You'll get a recorded robot that is so advanced technologically, it can actually answer your questions and speak to you. I'm having a freaking conversation with a machine, and we're interacting. I'm two steps away from asking it out to dinner and then having sex with it. What the hell's going on? We replaced people. Now, I got to tell you something. People were not all that great. I mean, people are really overrated. They're really annoying things. The human race is so messed up, it's not funny. So I guess this is a better alternative, but, and as I talk about this today, what kind of technology is being developed that's actually going to replace people? I mean, seriously, it already has. It's a little bit scary and a little bit rock and roll. I don't know. Anyway, there you have it. And that has been my conversation for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Like an Uber, I hope you rate me well. Not that it matters. I get paid to do this anyway, whether you listen or not. That's one of the great things about this country. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know anymore. I really don't. You know what's really nice? I don't like to talk about this frequently, but every day I notice something else that signifies that the COVID thing is pretty much over. Oh, it could come back. There are some predictions that over the winter, another strain will occur. But we've got so much medicine now. We've got drugs that can fight it. We're aware of it. We know what the strains are. We know how to combat it. It's like a totally different deal than when it started, and we don't know what the hell this is, and you're all going to die. That was a different time. No vaccines, no treatments. Ooh, that was not good. We're in a different ballpark right now, even if there was some variant that happened to show up on your doorstep. The plastic shields at cash registers and stores, they're gone. They've come down. Store them in the back. Store them in the back room because you never know, but I'm just saying, they're gone. Here's what I don't understand, and I don't think I ever will, and I'm a smart guy. I wear glasses sometimes. People apparently are not returning to their jobs. I don't quite understand that. I don't quite get that. Don't people need money to live? Isn't that part of the system that we have? Do people actually say, you know, with the pandemic, I worked from home. I don't really care to go back to my job, really. I got used to not going all the time, and I'm just not going to work. What? What are you going to do? Whatever. What? Do you understand? There's inflation and stuff, and people are struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't really feel like working anymore. I don't know. What? I don't understand this. People should be knocking down the doors of businesses, but businesses are searching for employees.
We can't open up the restaurant. We don't have enough employees.
That's because they don't think you're hiring enough employees. I think it's more that.
No, we're really looking for good talented people. We can't find them.
Have you looked outside? I mean,
what do you mean you can't find people? Don't want to work anymore.
What are they doing? I don't understand that whole part. I don't get that part. I took economics in school, and the whole thing makes no sense anymore. Anyway, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to have an interesting guest for you. You're going to be blown away by this guest. You're going to love this guest, but first this.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Van Damme, any relation to Claude Van Damme?
If I said yes, I'd be lying, but I would be more impressive.
Come on, say yes.
Yes, I am. He's my brother.
That's so cool. I knew it.
I know you knew it. Chef Anna Quingosas joins us now, and we're going to be talking about the wonders and misconceptions about pork. Our friend a pig there. And pork is, we've talked about this before, pork is amazing. When I was growing up, it was like, don't touch pork, eat it, but don't touch it, wash your hands thoroughly. And it's still kind of the case, but now it's like, it's not as, I guess it's safe. You can eat lean pork and it's fine.
I mean, it's more than safe. It's good for you. I don't know where all that came from,
yeah.
But I'm here to dispel it all, Ron.
That's good.
Let's dispel those misconceptions.
Well, honestly, I think we should. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know where all that came from, but it's really untrue. Pork is an excellent source of protein, high-quality protein. So many cuts of pork are super, super lean. My favorite, which is the tenderloin, I use it for everything. I make pulled pork tenderloin.
Sure.
I actually stick it in a pressure cooker, and it just comes out, as lean as it is, it comes out incredible. So I could talk about pork forever, but this tenderloin, 3 ounces of tenderloin has 2.98 grams of fat, which is any skinless chicken you'll never find, no matter what they do to it.
That is so true. I'm one of those people that, I mean, I'm not fat, but I eat lean stuff because I don't want to get fat. And right. When I go to the supermarket, I literally look at the packaging on everything about the fat content, the saturated fat, etc. And pork tenderloin always wins out over beef and most cuts of chicken. And I'm fascinated by that. I use pork instead of veal parmesan or chicken parmesan. I do a thin slice pork parmesan, which is incredible. It's so tender.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
it's so tender. You pound it out.
Exactly. Just like I would veal.
I thought I was here to give you recipes, Ron. That's a great recipe.
No, you're going to interview me from now on. No, you're the chef. But, I mean, I totally agree that, I mean, fat content-wise and taste, I mean, pork wins every single time. And it's amazing the things you can come up with if you think about it.
because it's such a blank canvas. You can add so much flavor to it.
Yeah.
It really takes on, you know, you're just talking about making an Italian dish. Mm. We have some great recipes here that are really simple, like pork tacos. Who doesn't love that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just use Mexican spices and you use pork tenderloin for that. Add a little pico de gallo, a little, you know, queso fresco and some lime, and you've got, you know, amazing pork tacos.
Yeah.
Or like pork chop or a pork loin that you can roast and add some, you know, spicy chimichurri sauce to it. It has a lot to do with what you serve with it. I think that's also part of it. Hispanics tend to overload on the carbs and the sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's making us, you know, overweight and have diabetes and that kind of stuff. It's not pork. Pork, you know, if we ate more pork, we probably would have less of those problems. It's how you prepare it, which cuts you use, and what you accompany it with. That's the key.
It's I do a pork tenderloin and I put apricot jam or jelly all over it like it's some kind of lotion, and I keep I keep basting it, and then when it cooks and you cut into it, it's like it's an incredible flavor. I'm in love with it. Other countries use pork more frequently than we do, don't they?
Absolutely. For all the Latin American countries, but I believe that Asia.
Yeah.
Uses pork, mm-hmm. and don't quote me on this, but I believe I read that,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense because, again, it just conforms to so many different types of cooking.
Yes.
You can do anything with it, you know. Basically, you can, you know, slow cook it and roast it and grill it and sauté it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, and you can use it in place of any other protein as well, which is great. The other day, I saw somebody do like instead of chicken and waffles, do like pork tenderloin, like, you know, fried with mm-hmm. French toast, and it was unreal.
Wow.
So there's just so many ways to incorporate pork in a really healthy way. And then, you know, every once in a while, you've got to give yourself permission. It's about moderation.
Yeah.
To have a little bacon, to have a little, you know, something extra.
Sure. And there's also lean cuts of bacon, too. I mean, it's the, you know, there's the thin cuts and everything. Are there other misconceptions that we don't quite understand about pork, things that we're taught but are not necessarily the case?
Yes, I think that, for example, everyone thinks you have to cook pork to death, like cook it all the way through. And you treat pork in many ways the same way that you use meat. So you can, you have to have 145 degrees is the minimum for medium rare,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay that it's a little pink inside.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that, and they don't. It's just so easy to cook, but you have to do a little research to kind of understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you overcook it, of course, it's not going to be as tender and juicy as it would be if you knew exactly. And also about, you know, which cut of pork, you know, the days where people, you know, you were talking about somebody touching it.
Yeah.
Any kind of protein, cross-contamination is an issue with any kind of protein.
Right.
You know, don't combine raw and cooked
food
and that kind of stuff. It's just common sense.
Right.
But other than that, I think that people just really need to understand how lean pork is
mm-hmm.
and how it can be part of a very healthy diet.
Very true. I suggest that whatever you do with beef, try doing it with pork. When I do Oriental cooking in a wok, if there's ground beef in the recipe, I do the ground pork. It's lighter. I think it takes on the flavor more of the sauces than beef does. And it's a great substitute.
Sure. And even things like sometimes if you're using another kind of protein, if you're making meatballs, like
yes.
I like French ground turkey, I always have some ham in my freezer and I grind that up and I add it to it. And that's what gives it flavor.
Yeah.
If not, imagine just turkey meatballs, that's no fun. And so true to this, it's like I added a little bit of ground ham or ground pork to it.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about pork. We haven't even talked about ham and bacon and stuff and sausage.
Oh,
I mean, it just goes on and on. It's, I mean, those of us that love to cook, it's like it's a field day. Like you say, it's a canvas. It's
You're
really
right.
It's really fun.
It's like you do your share of cooking.
I do it every day. I love it. I go to the supermarket every single day, like it's Disney World, and then I pick up the ingredients and I go home cook with a glass of wine, and my family is just, they love me, I think only for that reason, though.
That's why. Yeah. So it's such a great way to unwind. But yeah, I think if more people read the the packages and really understood what's in stuff, we would all be eating healthier. Yeah,
no question. So how do we get more information about the wonderful world of pork?
So you can go to the National Pork Board or Pork Es Sabor for the recipes that I've just given you, porkessabor.com, and also at Pork Es Sabor or at the National Pork Board on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay. Now, but what if people wanted to cook like Chef Anna does? Where would they go for that?
That is annakinkosis.com.
Perfect. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Yes. my brother, Jean-Claude, says hello, by the way.
Oh, tell Jean-Claude that, you know, we need to practice more that or whatever it is.
whatever the hell that is.
A while.
Whatever that is. Chef Anna Quincoca, thank you so much for your time today.
It was a pleasure, Ron. Nice talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. Hey, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you stop by? I'd love it if you did. But I got to calm down. Holy crap, what's going on? I got to calm down here. Until tomorrow, I wish you peace.